We now proceed to the next section on victims and survivor service. And we have a guest today whom I would like to welcome, Paul Gallagher, who was shot by loyalists at his home in 1994. He was left paralysed and has been in a wheelchair ever since. Paul is the youngest member of the Wave Injured Group and one of the youngest injured groups in Northern Ireland. He's completing a degree in trauma studies at Queen's University, and he's currently chair of the Victims Group, Victims and Survivors Trust, based in West Belfast. Paul, you're very welcome.
Hello, conference. I would like to thank this conference for giving me the opportunity to speak today. My name is Paul Gallagher. I'm a member of the We Have Injured Group, and I'm also the chair of Victims and Survivors Trust, VAST. I welcome the motion before you today. Victims and Survivors First is a very noble aim. I hope that this will indeed lead to national reconciliation and healing. The motion refers to the important issues of truth, justice and acknowledgement. Issues that should be addressed if we are all to deal with the past in an honest and ethical way. I welcome the SDLP's endorsement of the Hassell-Sullivan proposals and take comfort in the fact that the motion recognises the critical input of many victims and survivors. I want to talk to you today about another campaign that has emerged from ordinary victims and survivors. Although the question of reparations is not specifically mentioned in the motion before you, this is an important strand of dealing with a post-conflict society. The Wave Injured Group has been campaigning for recognition for many years now. We are a group comprised of people from all corners of our community who have been injured by all actors in the conflict dating from 1969 to the present day. We stood on street corners in towns and cities across the country and collected a petition of 10,000 signatures supporting our campaign. Specifically, we have been lobbying our politicians for a special pension for people who were severely and seriously injured during the Troubles. On page 20 of the Hassell-Sullivan proposals, there's a clear mention of this need, and I quote, "We ask the Commissioner to give special consideration to those who lost years of their working life to severe physical or mental injury as a result of the conflict, as has been done in similar situations in other countries." It is true that most EU countries have a pension in place for victims of violent conflict and terrorism. Our proposals have rightly been met with approval from all of the parties bar none. The UFM, DFM and the Victims Commission have taken our proposals and spent around £50,000 on a document to cost and evaluate how such a pension could be delivered. A document, I might add, that we as a group have yet to see. This pension, which would only cost around £3 million per annum, is doable. It should already be going to the people who need it. The problem arises, and this is where the actions of you, the SDLP, is crucial, from the usual arguments that plague our daily politics. According to figures from the Victims and Survivors Service, there is a projected 400 people that would benefit under this provision. 10 people out of this 400 are judged to have been injured by their own hand. Under the current statutory definition of a victim, these people would be included in such a pension. Currently, the DUP is considering bringing forward a private member's bill to the Assembly. From their consultation document, it is clear that they wish to exclude certain people from the pension. They could eventually bring this through the Assembly without worrying about any challenge from Sinn Féin. Their 29 MLAs could not veto it. This is where the SDLP is crucial. Your party will be tested again. You will have to decide whether to support this bill, reject it, or abstain. Our group is aware of the pressures that our politicians are under. We understand the real politic at play here. We would much prefer that our proposals were met with cross-community, cross-party support, and that this pension would be a good news story for victims and survivors and for society in general. But we fear another toxic debate about good victims, bad victims, deserving victims, innocent victims, victim makers and perpetrators. We don't want this, but the DUP bill would take this out of our hands. The SDLP will again have to look to their principles and decide what they do in this case. We ask that you finally help us to get this pension over the line. It would be unfair and unjust if this political dilemma drags on with no resolution. Most of the people who were severely and seriously injured are now elderly. Many live in poverty. We feel that they have waited long enough for recognition. We have already lost members of our group. This needs to be resolved now before it is too late for those who remain. I hope you can support us. Thank you for listening. Thank you.
Who propose?
Good morning, conference, and I'll respond to some of the points that were raised by Paul later in my speech. The fact that there are victims and survivors, severely disabled victims and survivors as well, in the hall today is another timely reminder about our obligation and our ethics and our values and our responsibility to victims and survivors. That's today. The same thing struck me yesterday at the funeral of Brendan McGraw, returned to his family after so many years of being away. During the Mass up at St. Oliver Plunkett, there was a song sung, which I actually hadn't heard before, which is probably something that says something about me. A song about the disappeared. And the chorus goes as follows. Oh, you've never and you'll never, you've never and you'll never disappear. Your memories go fonder through the year. You're with us, in our heart, when our hearts run out of tears. Oh, you've never and you'll never disappear. So for all these years, we've referred to people as disappeared, but the truth is that in the lives of the families that they came from, they were never disappeared. They had been taken, yes, but they were still very much part of the hearts and emotions and experience of those families. Last September, Richard Haass said to Joe Byrne and me privately that he did not agree with the SDLP, that the single biggest issue of the Haass-O'Sullivan talks was to deal in a comprehensive and ethical way with the past. He said it privately to us in a room in the Europa Hotel after the first plenary of those talks. And Joe Byrne and myself replied to Richard Haass that we thought he was wrong, that we believed it was the biggest issue, and that victims and survivors, by telling their story to him and to the talks over the following 3 or 4 months, would demonstrate to him that our analysis was right. And Joe will confirm that in the early hours of New Year's Eve, when the talks concluded, Richard Haass came back and said to us that he was wrong and that we were right. And I said to Richard Haass that whilst we acknowledged that he had radicalised in a good way on the issue of dealing with the past, that wasn't because of the SDLP. That was singularly because of the influence of victims and survivors on the thinking of Haass and O'Sullivan that moved Richard Haass from thinking that it wasn't the biggest issue to it being the biggest part of the outcome of those talks. And it is because of WAVE, it is because of the victims and survivors in this hall, it is because of the victims and survivors across Northern Ireland that Haass came to the conclusion that he did. We don't agree with all of Haass on the past. Our argument was to have even higher thresholds of justice, truth, accountability and acknowledgement than the ones that Haass proposed. But we will not compromise on the House proposals for a comprehensively dealing with the past. We'll argue to go further, but we will not accept less. We are in a critical moment, because there are vested interests who are threatened by the scale and character of Haas's proposals on the past, because it asks of them questions that not only do they not want to answer, but that they are determined to resist answers to. What is the evidence of that? And this is not something that I'm saying privately in this hall. These are conversations that in the last 2 weeks we have had again and again and again with other parties and the three governments. What is the evidence that there are people now resisting even the level of truth, justice and accountability that Haas outlined? I quote two people. When the Assembly unanimously, a rare moment in the life of this Assembly, passed a motion unanimously calling upon Kinkora to be part of the abuse inquiry in London, the Secretary of State replied as follows. No, saying, quote, there will be the fullest possible degree of cooperation by all of this government and its agency in relation to the historical institutional abuse inquiry. Decode those words, and what it really means is that there will not be cooperation by the security service in respect of the Hart inquiry ongoing in Banbridge. Those words do not mean what they say, because the British government has vested interests in protecting the security service when it comes to its role in Northern Ireland and its particular role around Kinkora. And then we have the president of Sinn Féin. When they are challenged in recent weeks to account for the IRA's actions in the past, Mr. Adams replies, quote, the IRA has long since left the scene, so there is no corporate way of verifying the truth of their conduct. What is that about, save to protect the IRA and to deny truth to victims and survivors, be it of sexual abuse or other abuses of human rights? So we are in this moment, conference, between now and the middle of December, when we will have a further advance on dealing with the past or a further pulling back from dealing with the past. We have said to the Secretary of State, prove to us your commitment to truth and accountability. We have said to Sinn Féin, prove your commitment to truth and accountability. And we have answers that are not just unsatisfactory to us, but are bound to be unsatisfactory to victims and survivors. So, conference, here in the presence of victims and survivors, we again commit ourselves to the Haas threshold of truth and justice. We will argue for more. And the advice that I will be giving to the party in the Assembly is that now, not later, we publicly endorse their campaign for a pension for the severely disabled, as well as rolling out other mechanisms, financial and otherwise, to support the many thousands of victims and survivors in the north of Ireland.
Alban McGuinness to second the motion.
Conference, first of all, can I pay tribute to those who have come from Wave this morning to ask us to support them in their campaign, not just for recognition, but also financial recognition in terms of a pension for those who have been severely disabled as a result of the Troubles. And I want to endorse what Alex has said in relation to our commitment to that. It is an important commitment. As Paul has said in his address to conference, The SDLP is a party of principle. And if we are a party of principle, then we have got to support the enactment of a real and indeed, I believe, an effective method of recognizing in real terms the sacrifice and indeed the injustice done to victims during the course of the Troubles. It will not be an easy task for us, and it is reminiscent in many ways of the Special Advisor's Bill, because we will be pulled this way and that way within the Assembly. But in the Special Advisor's Bill, we stuck to our principles and we put victims first. And in this bill that will undoubtedly come before the Assembly, we will put victims first. We will be a principled party and we will be supportive of victims. And that is the promise I believe that this conference should be giving to those in WAVE who have come here this morning and to victims of the Troubles generally. You have our support and we will deliver our support to you. Of that I am confident. As far as the Victims and Survivors Service is concerned, and I want to speak about this in particular, it is not fit for purpose. I repeat, not fit for purpose. There is the potential for re-traumatization. Conference, this is an assessment of the Victims and Survivors Service. It is damning, it is tragic, and sadly, it is accurate. And it comes from the former Victims Commissioner, Catherine Stone. Conference, I share that sad assessment. I believe that it's accurate, and I believe the fact that it is true is an absolute disgrace. That we, in the post-Good Friday era, cannot create a service that will give practical help to the victims of the Troubles. I think it is a scandal. I also base my assessment not just simply on Catherine Stone, who was a distinguished person in dealing with victims, but also my own experience in my own constituency, where victims tell me how they are traumatized again and again. They tell me the indignity of dealing with the VSS and how it feels like they're being forced to beg, even for the most basic levels of assistance. I've heard how a man shot multiple times by paramilitaries has been denied assistance. I have heard firsthand from a man whose son was murdered by paramilitaries how he has been penalised for trying to help other victims. Penalised for trying to help other victims. And I repeat that to you. Conference, the stories I have heard and the people that I have spoken to would break your heart. It's as simple as that. They are victims in the truest sense of the word. And yet when they've engaged with the body that was set up to help them, they've come away traumatized, humiliated, frustrated, and ashamed. Catherine Stone, before she left office, carried out a review into the VSS, which drew up 55 recommendations into the service that would make it fit for purpose. Make it fit for purpose. These recommendations must be fully implemented. Victims of the Troubles must be given all the support that they require. They are living with their injuries and memories every day. They must not be forgotten, and they must not have to deal with a support organization that is not fit for purpose. Conference, we as a society, as a community, will be judged by how we treat victims of the trouble. They deserve better. And we, the SDLP, demand better. Thank you.
Joe Byrne is the next speaker.
Good morning, conference. Whenever we embarked on the discussions with Dr. Haas and Professor O'Sullivan last year, we felt duty-bound to be genuine in relation to dealing with the legacy of the past, the hurt, the pain that many victims have suffered. The Eames-Bradley exercise highlighted one thing, which was that many of the victims that have suffered in silence for 30 years were allowed a mechanism where they could go and engage and vent their frustrations, their pain and their concern. So Alex and myself were very strong when we had our first meeting with Dr. Haas that we had to be genuine to do something for victims. And we were so pleased that Dr. Haas and Megan O'Sullivan engaged the wider public, particularly the victims' community, and over 600 of them made written submissions, which was far in excess of our expectations. We thought about 200 groups might get in touch, but over 600 organisations or individuals made representation. The one thing that demonstrated was that there's so much of a legacy of hurt, pain and anguish out there. And if we're going to move forward politically and not have the ghost of the past revisit us, then we have to be genuine. And that's the reason in the current discussions we have started from that template, the template of the Haas Document 7, where we had reached a fair bit of agreement among all of the parties that this is an issue that has to be dealt with seriously. And more importantly, it needs resources. The current difficulty, we're told by government, is that the budgets are so tight, that resources are so scarce. How could we deal with such a quantum problem? And it is a quantum problem. We have over 3,000 deaths, victims, relatives, but we have over 30,000 people who suffered hurt and bad experiences of the Troubles. It's a big task. But if we're serious about it, then government, be it the London government and or with the Dublin government, will have to put targeted resources at this issue. There are so many people badly affected by the Troubles. Many of them suffer continued pain, anguish and the horror of the past. Many of them have mental health problems and they suffer daily. The great thing about WAVE and other victims' organisations is they have provided a collective forum for some of them to engage with the political process. The political process now has to deliver. Thank you, Conference.
Are there any other speakers to this motion? Tim Atwood.
Thank you, Conference. I just want to personally welcome WAVE organisation here, who represent many of the victims groups who do such sterling work in our community. I want to just tell one personal story. 2 weeks ago, I had the honour of chairing an international conference called Forum for Cities in Division, which was created by an old friend of the SDLP, Professor Padraig O'Malley from University of Massachusetts in Boston. And that brings together delegates from divided cities, cities that are in conflict or coming out of conflict. Derry and Belfast are involved, but there was delegates from Baghdad, Kirkuk, Ramallah, Jerusalem, Srebrenica, Mitrovica, Nicosia, every single city across the globe that you can think could in Nigeria that is divided, that is in conflict at the moment, and they are dealing with that on a day-to-day basis. And one of the speakers said, the reality in Syria now, there's 200,000 people who've died in that conflict, 200,000. And it was a timely reminder to give us a reality check about our problems. But one of the events we took them to was to meet some of the relatives' organisations. Some went to Relatives for Justice, some went to see the RUC Memorial in East Belfast, but a number of them went to hear both Alan McBride and Paul Gallagher speak in WAVE. And it was a very powerful story that Alan and Paul told. And one of the people who was listening was a guy called Amir Kulacic from Srebrenica. And he is a survivor of the Srebrenica massacre in 1995, in which his father, stepfather, his uncles, his brothers, all the male members of his family were murdered in that massacre. And he fortunately fled to the hills and survived it. And after listening to the journey of Paul and Alan, he spoke, and there was an interpreter there, he spoke and he said, after listening to Paul and Alan, he says, "You are not victims and survivors, you are victors." And I think that sums up the work of the victims' organisations, like WAVE and others. They are victors. They have not let down the people, the members and victims. They have supported them. They've taken them from trauma. They've helped them get through the difficulties of the past 40 years. The people who've let them down is the political process that, after 16 years, has not got a proper victim strategy to support them. So it is our responsibility to ensure that they are victors and we get what the victims and survivors get what they deserve. Thank you, Conference.
Could we now vote on this motion? Those for? Motion passed. And would you also please thank Paul for coming to share his thoughts and experiences with us, and to Alan McBride and the others in the WAVE group. Thank you very much for coming this morning.